for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, July the 6th, 2007. Dr. William Knoll is the speaker of this service teaching on rejection.
We've got two sets of handouts. One is the one I didn't give last time. And it's a recapitulation of Deuteronomy 28 of first, the blessings for if you will listen to God's voice and obey it. First, it's the blessings that if you will listen to God's voice and obey it. And on the flip side, of the curses. And if you look at Romans 11:23, it says, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. For those who fell or disobeyed, would not hear God's voice, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And so we will look at the curses that come down from idolatry, but I just want to give you those. You can look up the verses. I listed them there for you. Let's pray. Let's all stand and pray, please. Lord Jesus, we just come before You today, Lord God. We thank You and we praise You and bless You for Your goodness and kindness to us, Lord. You are so good to us, Lord. We come to You now, Lord, to open Your Word, Lord God. We bind the spirit of stupor that would come in and blind our eyes that we cannot see and our ears that we cannot hear and put us to sleep. We bind Him in Jesus' name and we loosen the spirits of God, wisdom and knowledge, and our understanding will be open, attentiveness. And we thank You, Lord. Touch us now, Lord God, and let Your Word go down into our heart. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last Tuesday, we looked at rejection, and we said that rejection is twofold, refuse to take, to agree to see, or use, or discard, to throw out as worthless or substandard, cast off, to rub off, or to deny acceptance, love, and care. And it's a two-edged sword. It enters you both by being denied acceptance, love, and care, or it can proceed out of you as a refusal to accept, believe, and hence cast out as useless God's and society's laws. Now, if you rebel against society's laws, you remember that all authority is raised up by God. But Peter said to the Sanhedrin, it is better to obey God than you. And so if the society's laws conflict with your understanding of God's laws, you have a right to say, no, I will not do that. But then you must be willing to accept the consequences of it, like going to jail. Now, the first rejection occurred in the rebellion of Lucifer. Lucifer rejected God's laws, and he fell. Lucifer, the word Lucifer means light bearer. You know, matches were used to be called light bearers or Lucifers. I can remember during the Depression, they'd say, have you got a Lucifer? I'd light my cigarette. And if you read David Copperfield, you will find that matches were routinely referred to as Lucifers, or they were light bearers. And so the light bearer fell, and he became Satan. And Satan means resister or opposer. And you only see the word Satan in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he seduced Adam and Eve into rejecting God's commandment so that rejection became our birthright. As a child of Adam, when you're unsaved, you're a child of Adam. And your birthright is rejection. And you're in bondage to rejection. Just like you're in bondage to sin. And here we have the Isaiah 14. And he says, how have you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How you cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the congregation, the mount of the congregation on the further side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And that's, he says, he's going to be like God, will he? Seduced a third of the angels into rebelling. Now, everybody says, well, you get the third. And they generally base it on the fact that the dragon swept a third of the stars with him. And stars in Revelation is a type of an angel. He held the seven stars in his hand. What were the seven stars? They were the seven messenger angels to the seven churches. And you go on and you'll see it was, there are several other places that are written. It said, I saw a star fall from heaven and a mighty angel, and so forth. In Ezekiel 16:1, we see that this is a prophecy given by Ezekiel. He said again, the word of God came to me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abomination. Now, I can show you a half different ways that Jerusalem is a type of the church, of the New Testament church. And the one I will quote is the one out of Revelation where the angel took John to a high mountain and said, I'm going to show you the bride of Christ, the lambs. And he took him up and he showed him the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven. So Jerusalem refers to the church. And he says, Son of man, know the church to know her abominations. And say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, the church, your birth and your nativity are from the land of Cana. That word means rejected or despised. Your father was an Amorite. Amorite means pride. And your mother was a Hittite, which means fear or terror. As for your nativity, your birthright, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped with swaddling. No eyes pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown into an open field, when you were loathed on the day you were born. Now that's utter rejection. They threw the baby out with the bathwater. They didn't put the rest of it in. But he said, but I walked by and I saw you there. Jesus said, I walked by and I saw you there struggling in your blood. And I said to you, live. Yes, I said to you, live. That was the day that you were chosen for salvation. That you were predestined. To him who he foreknew, he predestinated. And he chose you according to his foreknowledge. He knew who would respond and who wouldn't. God knows everything. James said, known from the foundation of the earth are all the works of God. In Acts 15. And so God knew whether or not you would accept. He calls everybody. Everybody on this earth has had a revelation of Jesus Christ. Some respond. And those are the ones that God foreknew and predestined for salvation. That was the day you were saved. And you grew. And your breast became beautiful. And your hair grew. And you were beautiful. And I walked by and I saw you, but you were naked and bare. And that word does not mean new. It's out of Genesis is the same word that God said to Adam, why did you hide? It's called we were naked. But that word naked doesn't mean bare or nude. There was a word used in the previous chapter when he said they were naked and they were not ashamed. That was nude. But this next time means they were without covering. They had been covered with a garment of light, just like God covers himself with a garment of light. But when they fell, they lost their light. They looked down and they didn't have their light anymore. So they made a covering for themselves. They made coverings of fig leaves. So they made aprons or handkerchiefs or aprons. Well, the word is a covering, and it's the covering used to gird on your armor. It's used in Kings where the when he says you gird on your arm, put your armor on. And so they made their own covering, and then God covered them. He went out, and the first blood slain in the Bible was not the blood of Abel, but it was the blood of the innocent animals that God killed, sacrificed to cover Adam and Eve's sin. And then he made a covering for them. And the blood of the sacrifices, and that was the beginning of the Levitical system of using the blood of an innocent animal to cover your sin. Because he says that blood will be an atonement for you. And that word atonement means to cover. Greek atonement means to cover. Hebrew, it means to cover. Greek, it means to cleanse. There's a difference. And so he covered them. And that was the day that God brought you in and saved you. And he made you a member of the family of God so that your inheritance became adoption. But let's go on. Let's look. Canaanite means rejection. Hittite means fear, terror. Amorite means pride. Now, we covered fear. Now, today we're going to cover pride. And how many of y'all have got your handout from last time? Does anybody need one? Ronnie? Hold up your hand, Ronnie. I'll give you another one. Now, you know, I can't read that. I know you can't. But this is the way God showed it to me. These came out of the book. You can copy them if you like, as long as you leave the credit on the bottom. Let's look at rebellion. Nehemiah 19:6-7. Open your Bibles to Nehemiah. I don't know whether that's on there or not, to tell you the truth. No. Nehemiah 6:9-16. Verse 16 says, "But they and our fathers acted proudly or presumptuously and hardened their necks," stiffened their necks, that means rebellion, that means stubbornness, "and did not heed your commandments," that's rebellion. "They refused to obey and were not mindful of your wonders that you did among them. They hardened their neck, and in their rebellion they appointed a leader to return to bondage." So here we have pride bringing both rebellion, stubbornness, and a return to bondage. Now let's look over at verse 29. "And testified against them that you might bring them back to your law, yet they acted proudly and did not heed your commandments, but sinned against your judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they shrugged their shoulders," that's another word for stubbornness, "and would not hear." And so here you have shrugging their shoulders and not hearing. All of this comes out of pride. Now let's look at rebellion first. And it's an interesting word that it is mara. And that's the same word for bitterness. And the first thing you get is witchcraft and divination. And that leads to legalism, Gnosticism, cult, spiritualism. These things. Legalism. 1 Samuel 15:23. There, Samuel is confronting Saul, and he says, "But rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity unto idolatry." And so you get the legalism, the Gnosticism, the cults, and the spiritualism. And they're all Jezebel. These are all your Antichrist spirits. And they're all come under the covering of Jezebel. They are about 30 different names that mean Jezebel. They all have a little different manifestation. And they have no predilection for sex. They can be in men as well as women. I said that the only spirits I know of that have a predilection for sex are the Icarus and Succubus spirits. A Succubus spirit is a spirit who comes and has sexual relations with a man. And an Icarus spirit is a spirit that comes and has sexual relations with a woman. Those are the only two I know of that have pre-election protection. They just want to get in the human. They don't get any rest outside of a human body. They go through dry places, and they're looking for a mud hole. And you happen to be a mud hole. 90-some% water and the rest dirt. And that's what they're looking for. And I can tell you, if they can't find a live one, they'll take a dead one. Well, I don't want to get into that. I was about to get into the awful rabbit trail. I'm going to let that go. Now let's look at the Antichrist spirit, Sam. First, you got the legalism of the Pharisee. And you got perfection and witchcraft control and bitter anger and legalism and deception. And you got the nitpicking and everything in its place and going to follow the rules and everything. And you just got to do it just right. If you don't do it just right, you're going to mess up. You know what happens to when God comes down and touches the earth and with His Spirit and starts a great move of God, and you have what we call a revival. And then suddenly, God begins to move forward. You know, He in the desert with the Israelites, the cloud covered them from the desert sun. The temperature in Mount Sinai in the Sinai desert is 160 degrees on the ground. That's hot enough to fry an egg in the middle of the day. Almost someplace between 140 and 160. But the cloud covered them so it wasn't that hot. They had grass growing. They had a nice place. They had a nice comfortable place for themselves and the animals because they were covered by a cloud. But when the cloud began to blow, they blew the trumpet. And said, the cloud is moving. And everybody, man, they packed up and they went with the cloud. Because they knew they were going to be left out there in the hot desert sun. And so when God starts revival and then He moves to bring greater revelation, if that majority of Christians won't move with it, they stay back here. And one of two things happens to them. They become very legalistic. The Amish, the Mennonites, the Assembly of God. Chris Simpson said he was raised in the Roman Catholic Church and he thought he knew legalism until he married his wife and she was raised in the Assembly of God. So they put the Catholics to shame. All of the churches can be legalistic. The Quakers were a great move of God back in the 15, 1600s. They didn't move on with God, so they became very liberal. They got further revelation from God beyond the Bible. Now, they are the most liberal people in the world. They believe that they're way out yonder someplace. They're believing everybody's going to be saved and there's no hell. And they're just gone. And so you get into perfectionism. And I'm afraid we all get to be a little legalistic at times. But somebody that's really legalistic will kill you. Witchcraft control, bitter angry, legalism and deception is what you get with a Pharisee. And we saw these with the Galatian church was being pulled back into it, and the Colossian church was being pulled from another direction. They were being pulled to add something to Jesus Christ. They were giving another Jesus. And they were getting further revelation from the Scriptures. Now the Galatians, they were going into the extreme legalism and back under the law into the extreme legalism. The Colossian church, they were moving on away from Scriptures and getting further revelation. And I said, I'm not going to get into explaining Gnosticism. I won't get out. But they believed that Jesus was a spirit. He didn't leave footprints on the ground. That they actually crucified Simon of Cyrene, or the man that carried the cross. He was the one that actually got nailed up there. And that Jesus was just a spirit being. And that the spirit is good and the flesh is weak, is evil. And so God couldn't possibly have created this earth. He couldn't touch anything such as evil as this earth or as matter. And so He created an immolation out of Himself and something else. And then that immolation, it creates another immolation out of lesser God and more of something else, and then it's another immolation, another immolation, another immolation, another. Out here about 25 immolations later, it is very little of God and something else, and it is ignorant of God and probably hostile to Him. Now, to get back to the real God, you've got to have a highly trained priesthood who spends time in fasting and prayer and reading the Scriptures and understanding what they really mean so they can climb past and know all the secret passwords and all the grips and all the magic so they can move past this and climb past all these immolations to get back to the true God. And so me and you got to work for a living. We couldn't possibly do that. So they have a man down there that you go to who can go to God for you. And you all have a long church like that where they had this one man and he knew everything and you went down there and he went to God for you? And you told him all your sins and he told you what to do and that's Gnosticism. And it's a very perversive thing. You will find today that there were a number of Gnostic Gospels written which were debunked by the church fathers in the year 300, and now they're trying to bring them back. These suddenly rediscovered Gospels. Praise the Lord. I get back to this. And so there you see, there's your moving on. Now the Gnostic, back up. You see a lot of works of the flesh. A lot of false gifts, and you see bondage to leaders. Because only the leader becomes your father. Your father in God. Your boss. And then you get the cults. And you notice that these things do not deny Jesus Christ as Savior. They do not deny the atonement of God's blood. What they just add all this stuff to it and twist it around and take the simplicity of the gospel and make it something complicated and put you in bondage to control you. It's all witchcraft. Now you got the cults, you got the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Unity, the Christian Science, and the many others, and they all deny somewhere in them there will be something that touches the divinity of God, of Jesus Christ. Something touches the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. They deny the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ and the atonement of His blood. And they're all good people. Some of the most dedicated, nicest people I know are Christian Science practitioners. They want to help people. You ever seen a Christian Science practitioner who's a exorcist try to get rid of a demon? He will take the demon out of you into his body. And then he's trying to get rid of it. And he'll start at the back of the church and he'll run forward to the front and fall, trying to throw it out of himself. And he'll do that for hours. Just trying to get rid of it. And so you go to him, and he says, "You've got a bad headache. Oh, you've got a bad spirit. Let me pray for you." And he takes that headache out of you, and then he gives you a bad demon for him, might be a good one for you. Give you a spirit of a brain tumor. And, you get your headaches go away for 4 or 5 years, and then that brain tumor comes up and kills you. Remember this, that the devil's, when you deal at the devil's counter, you always trade up. You don't ever trade down. If you go to the witch doctor, he will call the demon little brother. Little brother, come on out now, little brother. Or you can go to the spiritualist, Madam Zulu on the corner, and she'll tell you how to handle your finances and tell you what's going to happen to you. And you got the medium, where you can talk to Grandma or to a dear lost loved one who died and you just hurting and you are vulnerable and you go down there and that lady tells you what records your child like to play. And they suggest that you play this record and this record. Said, "Well, your child says I want you to play this and this and this and this, the child's favorite records." Oh my God, she must be talking to her. How would she know? Well, she got it from your familiar spirit. Okay? And you become in bondage to her. You got the median, you got the fortune teller, same thing. Then you got the Eastern religions, the New Age, the ESP, the hypnosis and astrology, all these work, these are all different types of spiritualism, and a lot more of them. I'm just naming the most common ones. And the fortune telling, you got reading the palm, looking in the eye. And y'all been to anybody to get your eyeology, to get your eye read, tell you what kind of disease you got? Going to the devil's counter. They tell you it's scientific. Who's scientific? Reflexology. And y'all been down and had your foot rubbed so your bladder will get better? Or your stomach ulcers, or your headache? Make your feet feel good. But reflexology is based on the balancing the yin and the yang. The forces of good and evil in your body. And that's Eastern religion. Your card reading. Tea leaf reading, and many other types. I mean, I can sit here and name dozens of them. But anything that portends to get knowledge from any place other than God. And a lot of them will tell you, oh, I have a gift from God. I'm going to find a water for you. Or, you want to know where that water cable is? Well, let me get my divining rods out. And they get two clothes hangers and bend them, stick at 90-degree angles, and they walk across here like this. And all of a sudden, them things go, whoop, there it is, right there. How does that work? Oh, it is a magnetic field that makes that work. I have a special gift and a magnet. Will it work for me? Well, no, it won't work for you. And so I've seen people get it trying to work on me. So that's the reason the boss hires me, because my magnetism is in tune with the earth magnetism. Have I heard such a bunch of malarkey? It's a demon. Brother Glenn can tell you that. He's witnessed it. The big demon walking along and take that stick and turn it down. Brother William said, now. And that bent down, it went. And he said, thank God, sir. He said, you don't know what's happening? He said, the big demon walking along. Every time I said now, that's when he was reaching out to twist that stick down. Now, the stick will actually twist down. You will hold the stick like this. And it actually will twist down. I saw it twist down and break in Tom Walker's hands. He couldn't hold it up. It was an oak sapling about this big, and it twisted down and broke. And he was trying to keep it from keeping it straight. It made the water witch so upset that somebody had more power than he did. That's a curse, in case you're interested. They don't call it water witching for nothing. If anybody witched any water on you, you better go break the curse. Anybody, you see anybody out there divining for water cables or electric lines or something on your property, you tell them, get off. You don't want no witchcraft done on your property. And you break the curse. Where were we? Okay. Eastern religions. There's Taoism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and others. And we'll come back to those. And there's EPS, there's clairvoyance, precognition, and telepathy, and something called psychometry. Now look at Eastern religions. You got Hinduism, and that's in India. You got Buddhism, that's in India, and Indochina, and China. Taoism is in China, and spreads down. Now out of Hinduism comes transcendental meditation. And that is a religious service where you call on a demon, and you sit and you call a demon. Your mantra is the name of a demon. In my book, I have a copy of the introduction of the service that they induct you into it. The induction service or initiation into TM when you get your mantra. And I have this all done in Sanskrit, and so you don't know what they're saying to you. And I've got an English translation back there in that book. I say, don't read it out loud, because it is worshiping an Indian god, and don't let those words come out of your mouth. Don't get snared by the words of your mouth. Yeah, I recommend that if you're not in ministry, ministering to these people, that you just read the commentary on it, but don't read it out loud either. It is very powerful witchcraft. You got transcendental meditation and yoga. They both come out of Hinduism. Buddhism, you got yoga. It comes out of Hinduism and Buddhism. And you got the stress-reducing exercises, Lamas, and relaxation. Lamas, teaches you about your body and teaches you about the birth process. And there's nothing wrong with all that. But when they carry you into the relaxation and teach you and use the relaxation techniques for you to clear your mind and teach you to relax and become passive, and then they teach you into the breathing exercises, which introduces you into hatha yoga, which is the highest type of yoga. No self-respecting Hindu guru would take you into hatha yoga without at least 5 years of preparatory work. But in Lamaze, they take you into hatha yoga, and it will relieve pain. They teach you to meditate on the dots and to meditate on the manula to clear your mind, and you let the kundalini spirit, come into you. And the kundalini spirit can drive you crazy. Let's put it that way. Its name is Savannah. She is a Jezebel spirit, and she can drive you absolutely insane and cause you miserable and have fun. She has fun doing it. It comes in, and Lamaze, we've had, I've seen lots of people do Lamaze. Most of them don't. Lots of them don't do the dots and don't do the relaxation exercises and so forth. But the people who really get into it and really get into yoga, you're worshiping a foreign god. They said, "Well, I do my yoga exercises and I pray in tongues while I'm doing it, and I play praise music and I meditate on Jesus." Really? And you there in those yoga poses, which are worship poses to a foreign god. And what does the Bible say about it? Prophet Haggai says, I think it's Haggai. He says, if someone takes some holy meat from the altar and puts it into the fold of his garment and touches something that is unclean, does the unclean become holy? And the priest says, no! If a man who is clean touches a dead body or unclean object, what happens? He's unclean. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be your, and you will be my children. Be ye holy as I am holy. Job says, who can bring something clean out of something unclean? No one. And those were the words of Job. That's okay, let's go on. Martial arts, same thing, comes out of yoga and comes out of Taoism. Martial arts, true martial arts, supernatural. You cannot break a paving brick with a chopping broke of your hand in the natural to break your hand. Well, if it's not it's supernatural, where does it come from? There are only two sources. There's the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And the unclean spirit. Well, it's not the Holy Spirit. I have some interesting stories about martial arts. But I tell you, you pick up demons in martial arts. You cannot come up into the high belts without meditation. You must meditate and clear your mind and invite those demons in. Acupuncture. Yoga and acupuncture and Hinduism are based on balancing the good and bad forces and breathing in the power in the air around you. And they're all of them have different names. You know, it's got power. It's got supernatural power. They do open heart surgery in China under acupuncture with no drugs. But it's not from the Lord Jesus Christ. But it works, they say. Sin is always seductive. If the devil showed you the real side of sin, nobody would ever sin. If you saw what sin really looked like to God and what the consequences were, you'd never do it. So the devil lies to you and sucks you in. And when he's got the hook in you, then he hits you and lies to you and blames something else. Idolatry. Now there you've remember that idolatry is worshiping anything other than Jesus Christ, turning to Him for wisdom, power, and knowledge. Idolatry. You get sickness, poverty, broken families, bondage or slavery, mental illness, insanity, loss of children, no communication with God. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And here you got the blessings from obedience, health. Deuteronomy 7
says, I'll take all sickness away. Didn't say I'm going to heal you. He says you won't ever get sick. And he also says there that you won't have any miscarriages or any spontaneous miscarriages, and your cattle won't miscarry. They'll bear fruit. That means you're going to have, that was an agrarian economy, that means you're going to have good business. Exodus says, I'll take all sickness away, and there won't be any barren among you. But the curse is you're going to get sick. You're going to have a prosperous business. You're going to have poverty and business failure. You're going to have a good family life. You're going to have a broken family life. You're going to lose your wife and your children. You're going to have victory over your enemies. Bondage or slavery. You're going to be respected in the community. They're going to call you crazy. They're crazy. You know, and they got all these nice, respectful terms, but when they really wanted to, when they want to downgrade you, they say crazy. Everybody knows what that word means. You're going to have many children and grandchildren for a blessing. You're going to lose all your children. They're going to be taken away from you. Says you're going to be standing at the window going blind looking for them to come back. A lot of people standing around got lost children. You see these things everywhere where children are being lost and disappearing. Little kids, big kids, teenagers. They're walking away and the parents will never see them again. And they go blind standing at the window waiting on them to come back. You're going to be holy to God. Idolatry, no communication with God. The heavens are going to be iron above you. And bronze and the earth's going to be iron. Whoredom. Sexual sin. Idolatry. Whoredom. That's a good old English word. It is, you know, you got the new King James that says harlotry. Well, that doesn't have any punch to it, so that's a descriptive word. It means idolatry. It means, black magic arts, it means sexual sin. Now you must understand that sexual intercourse outside of marriage is an act of worship to the devil. I repeat that. Sexual intercourse, any type of sexual contact outside of the marriage bond is an act of worship to the devil. It's in the Bible. Open your Bibles to Colossians. I wouldn't tell you anything that's not in the Bible without saying this is my opinion. And you don't care about my opinion. What you want is God's opinion. Idolatry, Colossians 3:5. Therefore, put to death your members that are on the earth. Fornication. That's a good Greek word, porneo. And it means anything from the soft porn ad advertising Coors Light, the little girl with the skinny bikini on, standing at there, boys, if you drink this, you're going to be attracted to me. Okay? All the way down to the most gross thing you can imagine in the Hustler magazine and the acts thereof. The pictures, the imaginations, and the actual acts. That's what it means, fornication. That's what the Greek word means. Uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So that's idolatry. That's an act of worship to the devil. And you want a confirming verse, look in Ephesians 5:5. And this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man who's an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So that's all idolatry. Hosea 4:10-13. Look at idolatry there. We've talked about it. You get infirmity spirits. You get poverty, broken family, bodies, madness, loss of children, and loss of soul. Loss of soul? Why does it say you're going to lose your soul? Well, Proverbs 6:32 says, anyone who commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He destroys his own soul. Hosea 4:10 says, whoredom, wine, and new wine take away the heart. And that word heart there is the innermost being, which means the soul, the will, the emotion, the intellect, and the conscience. And it says it takes away. And that word takes away is the same word used when Enoch walked with God and God took him. He took him away. And so that will take away your soul. And you get dyslexia, hyperactive, compulsive thoughts and actions. Whoredom is adultery, fornication, alcoholism, lack of soul, loss of soul. Learning disorders, amnesia, blackout spells, and memory loss. And whoredom gives you a perverse spirit. We talked about that yesterday, Tuesday. homosexual, reprobate mind, incest, bestiality, and a pedophile. And you get sexual sin, multiple sexual partners. I read this article, you know, and they were estimating now that the average man of retirement age has had 15 different sexual partners. And the average woman of sexual at retirement has had 4 different sexual partners. I think they averaged in a lot of older people because the younger people seem like that is much more prevalent than that. When I was a pediatrician, I used to counsel these girls, and I was always shocked because they were very open with me. This one girl said, "Well, it's like eating my spinach, Dr. No." I said, "What you mean, honey?" She said, "When I was young, my mother told me to eat my spinach. If I wanted to stay healthy and have good bones, I had to eat my spinach. Now, if I want to have a boyfriend, I have to have sex with him. I want a boyfriend. So I don't like it, but it's just eating my spinach." How sad. Sexual sin, sexual dysfunction, oral genital sex, sadomasochism, exorcism, peeping Tom, and fetishism. I didn't talk much about fetishism yesterday, Tuesday. That's when you have to have fetishes. They're types of charms, and they're generally used in. For instance, I remember one person that we took through deliverance, and he could not. It was for the days of these drugs they use now for erectile dysfunction. I can't remember the name of it. God spares me all of that. Viagra, yes, Viagra. That stuff will make you go blind, you know. You know, they read out of you on television saying, and it can be high blood pressure, and the blindness. Then you see, if you have any trouble going blind, go see your doctor right away. Uh-huh. What's your doctor going to do for you? Say, tough. Fetishism. This particular man had a problem with erectile dysfunction unless his wife was wearing a mink coat and laying on a bare rug. That's fetishism. It's things that you put around you. And his wife didn't mind because she had 3 nice mink coats. Shame. Can bring shame on you. Rebellion can bring shame, embarrassment, humiliation. Here it is. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, who devise plans but not of my spirit. And this is the New King James. The old King James says, create a covering but not of my spirit. That they can walk, add sin to sin. They walk down to Egypt. That's the world. And not ask my advice. That's what, you know, that's what Abraham did. He went on down to Egypt during that famine. He didn't ask God. And what did he do? He wound up with Ishmael. Rebellion. And he had a rebellious son because of it. It plagued his descendants. You know, he had rebellious Ishmael, and then he had rebellious Esau, just like Uncle Ishmael. And I could go on, I won't. Okay, they walked down that ice mountain to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh. That's the devil. And to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. And so rebellion brings shame, humiliation, and you come under the curse of a false covering. You have cursed yourself because you've created a false covering, and you need to break the curse of the false covering from this rebellion. But making these plans, all these plans that you're going to do to get yourself out of trouble instead of asking God. Bondage, that's drugs, food, sex, and abusive relationships. Those are just a few of them. If a man had a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father, the voice of his mother, who, when they have chastised him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard." And so out of rebellion can come alcoholism and gluttony. And it's not the only reason for gluttony, but it's a very big reason. But rebellion will bring you in to gluttony. And it says this is bondage in Deuteronomy. Betroth a wife, another man shall lie with her, build a house. Your sons and daughters be given to another man. She begets son, they go into captivity.
And the Lord will scatter you and you'll serve other people. Those are promises of bondage out of Deuteronomy 28. I want you to look at how the spirit of bondage works. You see, you've got rejection here, and you got fear. It leads to fantasy, idolatry, bondage. Fear leads to insecurity, bondage. Remember, they wanted to go back to Egypt. You got fear, depression, drugs, bondage. Remember that whoredom wine. Now, that word wine there means to be intoxicated. And the only drug that they really had in the Bible was alcohol. Got all kind of wonderful drugs now. I mean, they just got a book full of them. I had a book this thick on my desk of the different kind of approved, just regular drugs. And so that they put you into bondage. And then you get rejection, goes into pride, and get stubbornness, idolatry, bondage, bitterness, retaliation, bondage. And you see, it goes round and round and round. You got a picture of it back there on the wall. When the spirit of mind control is like an octopus and it sits on your head and it goes to all these places in your soul that have died from sin and been replaced by demons, and he stays in communication with them, just like the old central operator in the old town, you know, when you had the telephones and you picked your Andy at Mayberry, used to pick it up and say, "Mabel, get me Goober at the garage." And they had some operator down there who would plug them in and ring them. That was called telephone central. And the central operator, she called, and if something was going wrong, she knew who to call to bring in their reinforcements. Well, your bondage spirit is a spirit of mind control. It is telephone central. And she sits up there, and all these spirits draw power from one another and keeps you enslaved. Now, here we've read this once before, stubborn. There are three words for stubborn: this one, and this one. Now, these are two agricultural terms, and they came from having to do with an ox that didn't want to work, didn't want to obey. And so the first one meant stiff-necked. That meant the ox sat up and she held his head up real high, so he had to be real strong and tall to get that yoke up over his head to bring it down. We had an old mule like that. You man, and Fleming was the only person who could get a bridle on him because the mule was a huge thing, and Fleming was about 6'6 or 6'7, and he was the only one who could reach up there and get that bridle on that mule, get him in the corner, and then get him bridle on him. And then when we got him into the wagon, traced with the wagon, he would tighten up those chains just enough to look like he was working. He'd be going along like this, and poor old John, boy, he'd be just pulling, you know, he'd pulling about 80% of the load. And so old Jack, he'd just be. And Charlie, when he saw Jack wasn't working, he would take the whip and pop him. Jack would jump, and he would work. He thought Charlie wasn't looking, and he'd slow down again. And Charlie was always popping Jack. "Come on, Jack. You're not pulling a spoonful." And the other one is an agricultural term. It means not only stiff-necked, but it said they shrugged their shoulders. Then that he would pull his neck back, and he would push his shoulders up like this, and the yoke would slide off. He didn't want to work. He'd get stuck in the mud hole, and he didn't want to pull it out. He'd just lift up his head, and the yoke would slide off, and he wouldn't work. Those were the two, meaning stubborn. Now, the third one for stubborn is an interesting word, and it means literally to pick at. And it's used in oral discourse. It means to press. It's designed press, urge, or stubborn. When Elisha knew Elijah was going to be taken away, and he got to Jericho, and then he went down to cross the Jordan, there were 50 sons of the prophets that followed him. And then he crossed the Jordan, and the chariots of fire separated him, and the whirlpool wind picked him up and carried him away and left his cloak there. So he picked the cloak up and walked over, and he hit the Jordan. The Jordan separated, and he walked across the Jordan on dry land, and the 50 sons of the prophets bowed down to the spirit of Elijah. Elijah is on Elisha.
And they said, Master, we got 50 boys here. Maybe God dropped him off in one of these hills. Let us go look for him. He said, no, don't do that. He's gone. And they pressed him until he was pale. They just kept after him. Why can't we go look at him? He might be out there. He might be hurt. He might need our help. Why, you know we ought to go look after him. And after one side, gone. Any of your children ever do you that way? Argue with you for an hour until finally you say, oh, go on, do it, get off my back. That's stubborn. I had a son like that, and he could argue for 3 hours. But, Dad, we got to talk about it. And he talked, and I still know, oh, and as he got older, then he would get angry and threatening, and then he'd get violent. And I had the police put him out of the house. My neighbors thought I was horrible. That is a type of witchcraft. And so stubbornness can be not only idolatry, but witchcraft. This type of stubbornness. Let's go on. Now, stubbornness means scoffer. Man that has a stubborn spirit, scoff is unteachable, and scoffer is his name. Now, you look up scoffer or scorner, and he's unteachable. He won't hear correction. He's deceived. Won't receive ministry. He's always right. You can't correct him. He's self-centered, jealous, envious. He worships himself. He's narcissistic. Wise son heeds his father, but a scoffer won't listen. A scoffer does not love one who corrects him. And when there's no wood, the fire goes out. That tale bearer, no terror bearer, and strife ceases. I wonder how I put that one in there. Anyway, a stubborn scoffer becomes a talebearer, is a gossip, slanderer, contentious, quarrelsome, strife, as witchcraft, manipulation, he's lying, malice, gossip, evil speaking, cursing, nagging, nitpicking, argumentative, threatening, loud talking, argumentative, crowing, and so forth. These are all fruit of the stubborn spirit. Bitterness. Now the word marrow, you remember I pointed out to you rebellion had this number? Bitter. Means to be bitter, unpleasant, to rebel. This is Strom's definition. To rebel, to resist, to cause, to provoke, bitter, change, to be disobedient, disobey, grievously provoke, rebel. And you know, so bitterness and rebellion have the same word in Hebrew. And I say this to you, if you're bitter, you're going to get rebellious, and if you're rebellious, you're going to get bitter. God says, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any bitterness, root of bitterness, springing up you, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. It will defile you and cause you to fall short of the grace of God. Look at bitterness. It causes infirmity spirits to come in. It'll make you allergic to yourself. Make you allergic to the things around you. You get hay fever, asthma. And then it will make you allergic to yourself. And you get collagen diseases, intestinal diseases, skin diseases, headaches, muscle spasms, allergy, bladder problems, ear problems, female problems, infertility. All of those things, I can put names to all of those diseases. And they all have their root in being bitter. Get rid of the root of bitterness. And sometimes it's a curse that comes down the family line. Well, that's just the way we are. We've always been that way. Well, for God's sake, change. You remember, hee-haw, they used to say that the man stuck his hand in there and he cried, oh, it hurts. And he said, well, he hit him with the rubber bag and said, well, don't do that. You need to break the curse of the bitterness. So go away. Because bitterness causes you to be unforgiving. Now, if you're unforgiving, you get tormented. You know, we talked about torment Tuesday. He said, if you don't forgive, then God's going to turn you over to the tormentors. And we talked about the tormentors were mean, sadistic folks that get their jollies watching you scream. And that's what the demons are. And I'm going to tell you, if you got unforgiveness and God has turned you over to the tormentors, you can go get Brother Glenn to pray for you. You can go get Sister Carla to pray for you. You can go get Sister Jerry to pray for you. And they ain't going to be able to pray that spirit off you. Ain't a preacher in this world going to be able to pray that spirit off you until you get right with God and forgive. And cast that bitterness out of you. Get that bitterness out. Start praying for that person. Unfair. You know, anybody felt like it's just unfair? That's just unfair, God. You see how those people prospered over there, and they just drinking and partying all the time and gallivanting around. And I'm over here working, trying to do your will, and they just got so much more than I have. It's just unfair. And they stole from me. They lied to me, and they stole from me, and they got my good stuff over there, and they're prospering. It just ain't right. And y'all ever had that sort of feelings like that besides me? I'm the only one that felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you want revenge. That makes you a thief. Because God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. So you want revenge, you're stealing from God. And God doesn't take that kindly. He just turns you over here to them tormentors. Once you want to retaliate, get revenge, that's what that means. And you get angry and you get a rage, violence, hate, murder and death. You hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. Well, can't I hate one brother? Bible says you hate your brother. And in the King James it is thy brother. That's one. In the New King James it says your, but in the Old King James it says thy. That's one. One brother. You guilty of murder. And no murderer is going to have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, I think. Maybe it's 8. Read the whole chapter. It'd be good for you. Praise the Lord. Well, torment. We talked about that. Accusation. That's when you accuse other folks. You know, it's his fault. Pass the book, project the blame. I mean, that goes all the way back to Adam. He said, Adam, how come you did this? It's that woman you gave me. Well, so what me? It's that snake over there. I mean, that's... There it is, Genesis 3, verse 12. Paranoid. That's when you accuse others. Saul did that to David. The women came out dancing and said, David slain, Saul slain his thousands, David slain them. So, said, man, what can he have more in the kingdom? After that, boy, he eyed him, tried to kill him. Acted to accuse others, he's jealous, suspicious, envy, and covetous. People, pride is a thing that will cause you to have lots and lots of problems. And it is seductive and deceiving. You need to humble yourself before God and serve others and trust God to provide for you and believe the Word of God. The answer to pride is believing the Word of God. To have a routine of fasting, of serving others, and believing God's Word. He says, humble yourself in the sight of God and He will lift you up. Submit to God, resist the devil and he will flee. Most folks quote that, resist the devil and he will flee. They don't get that first part about humbling yourself and submitting to God. Because the devil, your adversary, is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that means he may swallow. And he's out there looking for you like a roaring lion. Anybody tells you ain't got any teeth? I've met a lot of folks he's gummed up pretty bad. Now, it is true that you have authority over him in those areas where you have not submitted to him. But if you have submitted to him in sin, and unforgiveness, and jealousy, and envy, then he's got a lot of grounds to torment you. And so, walk under the cloud. Walk with God. Stay in his word. So, praise God. Okay, let's all stand up now. Jump around. Let's get our blood circulating again. And we're going to come against the spirits of pride. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Say, dear Lord. I believe. That Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Is the Son of God. He was crucified on the cross. For my sin. He was manifested in the flesh, and he died for my sin. He was raised from the dead for my justification. He ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of God the Father, ever to make intercession for me. God is my Father.
Jesus Christ is my big brother.
I have been accepted in the Beloved.
In Him.
All my sins have been forgiven.
By the blood of Jesus.
According to the riches of His grace.
Ephesians 1, 6 and 7.
I am a child of God.
My heritage is no longer rejection.
My heritage is acceptance.
Adoption.
Jesus Christ
has redeemed me.
He lives in me.
He sent the Holy Spirit
to live in me
and empower me
against all the works of the enemy.
Lord Jesus,
I thank you.
I confess
my sin
and the sins of my fathers.
And I accept the guilt
for them.
And I turn
and cover them with the blood of Jesus.
And I repent and walk away
to do them no more.
And I break the curses
on me
and my seed forever,
according to the Word of God
in Galatians
3:13.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus,
touch me.
Heal me.
I repent
of the sin of pride,
the sin of whoredom,
the sin of rebellion,
of intoxication and drugs.
In the name of Jesus,
I repent of the sin of stubbornness,
bondage.
I break the curse of the false covering.
In the name of Jesus,
I thank you, Lord.
I bind all infirmity spirits.
And I command them to leave me now.
I bind these things.
It is written
in Joel 2:32.
Anyone calls on the name of the Lord
shall be delivered.
I bind these things and I cast them out.
In the name of Jesus,
go
in Jesus' name.
Everybody take a deep breath and let them go now. Let them go. Come out in the name of Jesus. Let them go now. We break your power. We break the power of pride. Pride, I bind you in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out. All pride. All spirits of rebellion and bitterness now. I break your power. I bind you and I command you to be gone in Jesus' name. Everybody have a seat now. Keep both feet on the floor and both hands in your lap. Don't cross your fingers. Don't cross your hands. Don't cross your feet. Because the devil sees you got them crossed, they say, well, she's not telling the truth. She don't really have to don't really mean that, you know. Remember when you were a kid, you said you crossed your fingers, you didn't have to tell the truth? You didn't really mean it? Devil, he's a legalist. He believes that. You use that excuse not to obey. They did. Okay, now in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirits of rebellion in Jesus' name. I bind the spirits of witchcraft. Everybody just concentrate on what I'm saying now and take deep breaths and let them go. Don't pray in tongues. Don't pray the name of Jesus. Just take a deep breath and let it go. And just concentrate on pushing it out. There's a time to pray in tongues. That's when we get through. You pray in tongues while we're doing it, the demons won't come out. Now, if something happens, you know, sometimes people, demons are air, and most of the time they come out of the air passages. Sometimes they come out with a scream. Sometimes they come out with a cough or yawn. Sometimes they come out with you feel like you're going to vomit. That's okay. It's okay. You can get your dignity back when it's over. You got to choose between your dignity and your demons. Let your demons go. You can get your dignity back. And I'm not asking for manifestations, but if one comes, don't choke it. Just let it go. We've got people here to help you and get rid of these things. In the name of Jesus. And all rebellion now, come on out. Let them go.
Let them go in the name of Jesus. All rebellion. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. I bind the spirits of witchcraft and divination now, and I break that power. All witchcraft, all divination. I come against it in the name of Jesus. Perfectionism and legalism. I come against all legalism. The legalistic Antichrist spirits, I bind you now. Jezebel, I'm speaking to you. Come out in the name of Jesus. Jezebel and Celibi. Celibi, I'm speaking to you now. I bind you, Celibi. Turn them loose, all you horoscope spirits. Come on out, in the name of Jesus. All the spirits of celibacy, come out. All the perfection spirits, come out, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break their power. All the nitpicking spirits, all the critical spirits, in the name of Jesus. Come on out, 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 in Jesus' name. Go, 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 in Jesus' name. I break your power, in the name of Jesus. All the spirits, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come against the Gnostic spirits. Come out. All the spirits of Gnosticism. Come on out. Gnostic spirits. Come on out. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. I break your power in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of haughtiness, come out. All you haughty spirits. All you proud spirits. In the name of Jesus, come out. Come out. I'm going to keep the rules just right so... in the name of Jesus, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of Jezebel. Jezebel, I'm speaking to you. Jezebel, I'm speaking to you. Come out. Come out. I come against the spirits of Tinkai, Astarte. Come out. Come out. Astarte, Diana, Celibi. Come on out. Out, out. Iris, Tamas. All of you, come out in the name of Jesus. Astra. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind all of you. And I break your power, you foul devils. You can't torment these people anymore. You can't torment their minds. Let them go. Lord, I command these witchcraft spirits. I bind them. They can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. They can communicate with no other spirit. I command them to uncoil. Uncoil in the name of Jesus Christ to line up in rank and file and come out. All the serpentine devils. I come against them in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of Kundalima. Kundalima, Suva, Sumulana, Savana, Hasai. Come out. Tushai, come out in the name of Jesus. Silva, Kalai, I bind all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. You let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of transcendental meditation now in the name of Jesus. The spirits of yoga spirits in the name of Jesus. All spirits of the yoga, all spirits of the passive mind, come out. All spirits of the passive mind, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, 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 out. All Lamar spirits. All spirits that came in through looking at the manula in Lamar. Looking at the points. All hypnosis spirits. All spirits of hypnotism. Come out. All self-hypnosis. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All staring at the point spirits. Come out. All martial arts spirits. I bind you. Come out, martial arts. All spirits, come out. Martial arts spirits of violence. Come out. Violence and anger and rage. I bind you and I command you to go in Jesus' name. Let them go. All the martial arts spirits, all the kung fu spirits, come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of anger, rage, hostility, I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go in Jesus' name. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. Come out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out, all you spirits of witchcraft, in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of the occult now. I come against the Ouija board, all spirits of the Ouija board. Come out, Ouija spirits, in the name of Jesus. I come against Ouija spirits, horoscope spirits, card-laying spirits, in the name of Jesus. All divination spirits of any kind, divination spirits, looking for knowledge apart from God, in the name of Jesus, reading the horoscope. Looking at the signs of the zodiac, carrying birthstones in the name of Jesus. Come out. All spirits of the birthstone in the name of Jesus. All charms, all religious charms in the name of Jesus. All St. Christopher's medals, all rabbit's feet in the name of Jesus. All rabbit's feet, all lucky pennies, all wishbones. Anything that's supposed to attack you outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power and I command you to come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, 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 all four-leaf clovers,
All you foul spirits, let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I come against all spiritualism. I come against the spirits of the Mormons. I break the curse of the Mormon church. I break the curse of the Masonic Lodge and the Mormon church and Jehovah's Witnesses and the unity in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of the unity in the Christian Science in the name of Jesus. Christian Science, come out. Come out, Christian Science spirits. Out, out, out in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your power. I command you to go in Jesus' name. All of you, turn God's people loose. Let them go. Let them go. I break the curse that's come down through the family line in the name of Jesus. Be gone. Be gone, all of you, in Jesus' name. I break your power and I command you to leave now in the name of Jesus Christ. I come against the spirits of stubbornness. Stubborn spirits. Don't want to work. I want my way. I don't want to do anything. Nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to do what I want to. Come out, stubborn spirits, scoffing spirits, stubborn spirits. Come on out. Unteachable spirits. Come out. Argumentative spirits, tail-bearing spirits. Come out. Come on out, tail-bearers. Come on out, gossip spirits, tail-bearing spirits. Pecking spirits. I bind the spirits of witchcraft. Pecking spirits, arguing spirits. Anger, rage, hostility. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the false covering. I break the curse of the false covering. I break shame. Shame. I'm speaking to you, shame. Let God's people go now. They receive double honor for their shame. Double honor for their shame, God says. And I bind you and I break your power and I command you to come off now. The covering of shame. Come on off. Drop off now. Drop off. Fall off. I command the chains of shame. Come off now in the name of Jesus. I command it to drop off of them. Come on. Off. Off. Off in the name of Jesus. The burden of shame. Drop off of them. Drop off their shoulders. Now in the name of Jesus. Come on out. Shame. I bind you. I break any words, any curses that were spoken by their parents, by those in authority of them saying, shame, shame on you. I bind and break that curse and I command shame to come off. In the name of Jesus, come off shame. Come off shame. In the name of Jesus, humiliation. I bind the curse of humiliation that's come down from their parents and others in authority over them said, you will be humiliated. In the name of Jesus Christ, I break the curse of humiliation now and the curse of the false covering in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the curse of accusation, always passing the buck, never able to accept responsibility. I bind it and I break its power. Come out. Come out. They have accepted their guilt. You come out, you foul spirits of accusation, passing the buck, unable to accept responsibility. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out. Out. Out, you false spirits. I bind you and I break your power in the name of Jesus and I command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against the paranoid spirits. Spirit of paranoia. Accusing others. False delusions and delusional accusation. False delusions. False accusations. Come on out. Come on out. Jealousy. Envy. Come on out. All the delusions of paranoia. Paranoia, I break your hold right now. I send the hornets to drive you out. Everybody take a deep breath now. Push it out. Push out that false spirit of accusing others. Come on out. Everybody take a deep breath and cough and push it out now. Unable to accept responsibility. Jealous and envious of other people. Come out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Out! All of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break your power. I come against the root of bitterness. I pull the root of bitterness out in the name of Jesus. We pull out the root of bitterness now. By the Spirit of the soil, we pull out bitterness. Out. We pull out the bitter root in the name of Jesus. We pull out the rod of accusation, the knife of betrayal. We pull it out. We speak healing. We speak the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He heals bitterness and rebellion. Come out. All that bitter rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We pull it out. Come out. Come out. Come out of the bladder. Come out of the legs. Come out of the colon. Come out. Come out of the stomach. Come out of the liver. Come on out of the liver. That jealous, envy, bitter, come out. Come out of their livers in the name of Jesus. Bitter is bile. Come out. Come out, that bitter is bowed. Come out. Out. Out of the liver. I speak healing to the liver, to the spots on the liver from bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, all of you. Go, all of you foul spirits. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I break your power in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go, all of you. Name of Jesus.
Lord, I bind now all infirmity spirits, Lord. I bind headaches in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of witchcraft that hold headaches. It is behind the third eye. I pull out the third eye now in the name of Jesus.
Pull it out. The third eye. Come out. Come out from behind them. Witchcraft, come out now. I pulled out the third eye. You got to come out. I break your power. You can't cause people to have headaches anymore. You can't confuse their minds anymore in the name of Jesus. You can't bring confusion and memory loss. We break your power and we pull you out in the name of Jesus. We pull you out. Come out of their necks now, you serpentine devils. Come out. Come out of their ears. I speak to deafness. I bind the deaf spirits and I command them to go. I speak to blind spirits. I command them to go. I speak healing to their eyes. I bind the cataracts in the name of Jesus. Out, 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 out. I bind all inflammation of the eyes and the corneas in the name of Jesus and the conjunctiva in the name of Jesus. I bind hay fever now and congestion in the nose and I command it to go. Go, hay fever. Go, congestion. I break your power in the name of Jesus. I break your power. And I break your power and I command you to leave God's people now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All hay fever, all asthma, all bronchospastic airways disease, all food allergies, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone. I bind all heart failure in the name of Jesus and high blood pressure. High blood pressure, be gone. Go, go, high blood pressure. Go, 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 collagen diseases. Go, 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 lupus erythematosus. Go in the name of Jesus. Scleroderma, go in the name of Jesus. Fibromyalgia, go. I bind all of you. Command you to leave God's people. Come out of that gut. Come out. Crohn's disease, colitis, in the name of Jesus. Mucoid colitis, all colitis, come out. All celiac disease, come out. We bind you all. All diabetes. I bind diabetes now in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak healing to them. I bind Hashimoto's disease and all thyroid disease, all lung disease, all heart disease, in the name of Jesus Christ, all diabetes. I speak healing, health and wholeness. I bind skin disease and eczema in the name of Jesus. And I command them to go. Body, I speak to you. Line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says these people have been healed. Line up with the Word of God. Body, I command you by the Word of God. Line up with the Word of God. The Word of God says they have been healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. I bind cancer. All cancer. Cancer, you rebellious devils, I bind you and command you to be gone. I curse you to your roots. In the mighty name of Jesus. Arthritis, leave. Go in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And all God's people said, Lord, send down your grace. Everybody stand up and pick up their hand. Lord, let your grace come down. Let your grace come down, Lord, the healing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you to fill them now. Fill up every crack and crevice, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I thank you for touching these people, Lord. I ask you now, Lord, to fill every crack and crevice with your anointing. Let your anointing, let the peace of God settle on them, the shalom of God. Health, wholeness, provision, serenity, and healing. In the name of Jesus. Touch them, Lord. Oh, God. Touch them in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord. Bless the food now, Lord. Bless those that fixed it and those that are going to eat it. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I speak divine protection on those that are traveling, Lord. I take dominion over all the deer and the little critters out there and them to stay out in the woods and off the roads and out of the ditches in the name of Jesus. I take dominion over all the vehicles out there and them to stay on their side of the road and their lane in the name of Jesus, that no one will have an accident. I take dominion over all these cars and I say run properly, get good gas mileage and don't break down. Get safely home, and we ask in all God's folks said, amen.
Put your angels before them and let your glory be their rear guard in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.